Hey guys, welcome back to the Throwing Mountains podcast, where men are rediscovering courageous leadership. My name is Mike Hatch, and I am your host. And Chris Bollinger, my co-host, is not with me today because we're doing something a little different today. I had the amazing opportunity to travel to Nashville with my 15-year-old son, my brother, and my brother-in-law, and many other entrepreneurs from Pittsburgh to attend both the Thank God for Bitcoin conference and also the larger international Bitcoin conference. And you may have heard about that on the news, because the national conference, Donald Trump spoke, and RFK was there, and Vivek Ramaswamy, and many other folks in the political scene were there to advocate and to appeal to Bitcoiners. Of course, really, it was more of a pandering, you could probably say, if we're going to be honest about it. However, myself, as most of you know who've listened to the show, know that I am a Bitcoin optimist. I will take it. I will take it. If they're going to be positive about it and make it easier on those of us who are Bitcoiners, then I'm really happy about that. So anyway, while I was there, I interviewed a few other Christian Bitcoiners who had some really interesting takes and perspectives on looking at Bitcoin from a biblical Christian worldview. And today I am sharing with you the interview I did with Luke Broyles. And Luke Broyles is with a company called Blockware, as well as another organization called the Bitcoin Advisors. He's also very prominent and well-known in the Bitcoin space. If you look up his name, Luke Broyles, you will find all sorts of interviews and videos, and he's got a very large social media following. But he is a great guy, a pastor's kid, great Christian guy. And I just wanted to share some of the thoughts he had with regards to Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining. Now, again, if you've heard me on this show before, you've heard me probably talk about the redemptive utility of Bitcoin. And I believe there is tremendous redemptive utility to it, not just an investable asset that allows you to make a ton of money. I think there's so much more to Bitcoin than that. And hopefully in this podcast interview that I do with Luke, you will learn something about that. So so we talk about Bitcoin, we talk about Bitcoin mining, we talk about Pittsburgh a little bit as well, and the potential for where I live here in Pittsburgh to be a place where Bitcoin mining could be really impactful to the socioeconomic culture here. So I hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, you can email me at mhatch@clchq.org. Again, that's mhatch@clchq.org. We would love to hear from you. All right, so here is my interview with Luke Broyles. Hey guys, so I am here right now. Do you need to clip it on? Go ahead. I'm here right now with a good newer friend of mine, Luke Broyles, who is with Blockware, which we're going to hear more about right now, yes, right, as well as Bitcoin Advisors.
Right.
Also a pastor's kid, PK, right?
A PK,
I'm similar to that as well. And so amazing Christian guy. We got to talk a little bit, hang out at the Bitcoin, Thank God for Bitcoin conference as well, which is great. Thank you for your thoughts and experience and wisdom shared there. So I'm wanted to share this with our Pittsburgh market, okay? Right. And so we've got a large faith-driven investor, faith-driven entrepreneur business network there, for example.
Love it.
And this is something I think they might be interested in. Number one, Bitcoin Advisor, look up Luke Broyles. You find all sorts of things on social media. Learn from him. Definitely a resource, first of all. And then secondly, I know they'd be interested in hearing about Blockware and what exactly you guys do. And I'm here interviewing about Blockware because I trust Luke. Primarily. So, Luke, share a little bit about what Blockware does, if you
thanks.
Wouldn't mind.
How long do you want me to go? I could go on for hours.
Okay. Let's. This is a way
Can I back up a little bit?
Yeah,
maybe?
Go for it. Yeah.
So these are relatively newer people to Bitcoin, right?
Yes. More or less. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So the important thing, I was telling him this before we started recording. The important thing to know is that, unfortunately, 90% of the stuff you hear in Bitcoin either is not true, it's true factually, but misleading conclusion, false information. Right. You know, if you're watching this and you're a Christian, you know that 90% of the time people talk about Jesus, it's not exactly who Jesus was, right? No, I mean, that literally,
very true. Yes, it's true. That's a great point.
It's true for all kinds of truth, right? That if you have something that's true, there are going to be people that try to milk that message for their own benefit, right? So whatever you do, my encouragement is, if you're new to Bitcoin, just know that there's going to be a lot of people that want to take your Bitcoin. There's going to be a lot of people that want to, you know, mislead you on all that. And I'm not saying, you know, oh, I'm the 10% inherently, trust me. I'm saying verify everything for yourself, right? So that's my message here before I say anything else, is that please don't just blindly trust people. That I work at the Bitcoin Advisor. I see it all the time, every week. So many people that lose significant amounts of Bitcoin because people take it from them, right? Which ultimately is not an argument against Bitcoin. It's just the reality that information is not equally distributed yet, and it's very new, right?
Great point.
You know, I mean, most people buying Bitcoin at $6 lost it, right? And likewise, Bitcoin at $60,000 is still stupid dirt cheap. And so most people are losing it because they don't know what they're doing. So with that said, so I'll start with Bitcoin Advisor maybe.
Sure, yep.
You know, because I do think, frankly, that's probably, you know, the self-custody message, whether it's Bitcoin Advisor or not, is the most urgent one, is that first you got to understand you're very early to Bitcoin. I'm from Michigan and, you know, so fellow, you know, purple, you know, Rust Belt state, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, purple, right. You know, purple Midwest state.
Yeah.
You know, so just this morning, the state of Michigan announced that we bought $7 million of Bitcoin. So I'm a bit happy about that now.
That's good.
For our pension. But my point in saying that is that the first thing to understand with Bitcoin is that you're not too late, right? Yes, the state of Michigan just bought $7 million of Bitcoin. That's only 70 cents per citizen in Michigan. So they could 1,000x their allocation to $700 per citizen, and it would still be very early, right? So that's the first thing to understand. So, you know, before anything else, understand that you're very early to Bitcoin. I do say that not as a piece of blind optimism, but seriousness. That if you're buying one Bitcoin for yourself or your church, you should take it very seriously. You should treat that Bitcoin like it's worth tens of millions of dollars. Because give it a decade, give it two decades, it's probably going to be worth tens of millions of dollars. So take it very seriously. Take your self-custody very seriously. So hopefully Mike's, you know, beating you over the head about self-custody, so I won't add to that.
Yeah.
But seriously, really, take your self-custody seriously. And the most important thing, once you've taken self-custody, is reducing your single points of failure. Single points of failure could be your keys, it could be your device, it could be the location of your seed phrase. Most typically, it's yourself, right? So the most common people I talk to at the Bitcoin Advisor are people that are, you know, typically husbands and wives, or you know, people stewarding this Bitcoin on behalf of their family. And they think, what happens to me if I die? What happens to me if I get in a car accident and, you know, I hit my head and I kind of remember where the seed phrase was, but I don't remember, right? Like, what happens if something happens to you? And you combine that tragic health event with, you know, you know, a monetary and financial event, right? You know, that's the argument that, frankly, most people in Bitcoin ignore, because most people don't like thinking about their own mortality. And this is, as a Christian, this is one of the things I like about my line of work, is that the topic of death comes up a lot, and so the topic of Jesus comes up a lot, you know what I mean? So that as a side note, that's very nice. But you know, so single points of failure, that could be yourself, right? It doesn't matter if you have a single sig, where you alone know where the single sig is, or a three-key multi-sig. If you're still the only person that knows where those three keys are, you're still the single point of failure. I think a really big one in the next 5 to 10 years, actually maybe even less, we might be looking at 2 or 3 years, I think the really big one is litigation. I was at dinner last night with my friend Peter Dunworth, who is the guy, along with me and Andy and a few other people, spearheaded the Bitcoin Advisor. Peter's from Australia. I was the first American Bitcoin Advisor. But Peter Dunworth, some of the best lawyers in the country, Grant Cardone, and a few other people, or excuse me, Gary Cardone, I get them mixed up. Gary Cardone, you know.
And
basically, it was the whole topic of dinner last night. Nobody else talked about this in Bitcoin. The litigation, I think, is going to be one of the big ways in which Bitcoin's confiscated from people, right? UTXO management, that's another big one. If you don't know what that is, that's okay right now. That's another potential single point of failure people have, you know, being that they themselves aren't managing it. What's called the $5 wrench attack, being that, hey, I saw a picture of you online at the Bitcoin conference, give me your Bitcoin, right? That's another potential attack vector. And so that's why I'm so outspoken about multi-sig Bitcoin Advisor reducing single points of failure, because you reduce yourself against the risk of losing your Bitcoin and the result of death and the result of fire and the result of your roommate stealing your seed phrase and the result of you spilling water on your piece of paper with your seed phrase. I've heard it all. There's an infinite number of ways you can lose your Bitcoin. You know, so you reduce the failures there.
Yep.
And down the line, you reduce the failures against litigation, right? This is something I think, you know, most people, you know, I think even at the Bitcoin Advisor, most of our clients, I don't even think understand the true value prop that has, even, you know, Mike and everyone else, not because, you know, it's just, it's so early to that, right? Is that not only is you being a client of the Bitcoin Advisor protecting against the single points of failure of all that. But by having multiple keys in multiple jurisdictions, it means that, oh, you stepped on my foot, or you emotionally damaged me online, I'm going to sue you because you have, you know, whatever, you know, $1 million worth of Bitcoin.
That's a big risk these days. Yes.
Right. No, and it's only going to get a bigger risk because everyone right now, you know, if you have one Bitcoin or even half a Bitcoin or five Bitcoin, in some cases hundreds of Bitcoin, like, they know they can't take your Bitcoin with the point of a gun unless they are risking going to jail. There are people out there that their whole lifestyle is to sue people.
Yeah,
and that's just the
absolutely.
Reality. And
that's
who are they going to go after? They're not going to go after the real estate investors with tens of millions of dollars of real estate. They're going to after the Bitcoin guy with $10 million of Bitcoin because they know that the paperwork is going to be a lot lighter because the portfolio is a much easier to go after. It's much easier to liquidate than the real estate. So hopefully this is interesting. But my point is, when you take self-custody, seriously consider reducing your single points of failure. I've obsessed over this topic for years. I was the first Bitcoin advisor from America at the company, and I'm thrilled with it. It's what I do.
I went
personally.
Through the whole process myself with him, right. And so through the Bitcoin advisors, I've got my own multi-sig right. set up. So yes. Sorry, folks, nobody can steal my Bitcoin.
Well, and the most important thing is that our average client actually increases their Bitcoin stack by about 52% within the first 6 months. Because most people are buying Bitcoin, but they don't have the personal conviction or peace of mind to increase that allocation. And so that's a choice the client makes. You know, of course, we're always going to encourage people to buy Bitcoin in the percentage you're comfortable with. But my point in saying that is that I think the big draw to us in the near future is going to be people realizing, wait, I want the most important thing in my Bitcoin journey is increase my education, and my peace of mind as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Because the sooner I do that, the better off I'm going to be. I remember in January, you know, many prospects I talked to for Bitcoin Advisor that were concerned about our fee, and you know, when Bitcoin is 40K. And you know, they're wanting to like double their exposure, but they're not quite comfortable. That's why they're reaching out. They're trying to figure out the self-custody. And now they're coming back to me. Now that Bitcoin's $67,000, you know, up 40, 50, whatever, over 50%
right.
now. And they're realizing that, wait, if I had just gotten this figured out back in January at 40K, and I would have doubled my stack because I felt more confident, and now they've lost that Bitcoin. You know, that's an intangible loss.
Yep.
But, you know,
yep.
Anyway, what we're all about, making sure your Bitcoin is not going to get lost for any reason, whether it's a cryptographic reason, a personal health reason, or a litigation reason, right? Obviously,
yes.
right now is the cryptographic reason. Most people are losing their keys.
Yep.
You know, but down the line, Bitcoiners are getting older. They're going to die.
Yep.
And you know, we're all going to meet our maker. And and then litigation, too, in the meantime. So that's the pitch for the Bitcoin Advisor and why it's important.
Right.
Number one, you're not too late to Bitcoin. Number two, take self-custody. Number three, reduce your single points of failure with self-custody, but really you can combine those things.
It's great.
Now, Blockware.
Yeah.
We can
and
get
real
to that.
Quick.
Yep.
Blockware, so mining, Bitcoin mining is a big deal.
Okay.
And a lot of people want to get into Bitcoin mining. And to me, the exciting thing about Blockware is it allows someone who's just kind of early or starting to learn more about it to kind of venture in and dip their toe in
right.
a sense.
So Mike, do you want me to explain mining too, just a little bit?
That might briefly, be yes. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So briefly, what backs gold? Right. Well, let's back up before gold. What did humans use before gold? We used, you know, mammoth hides or cows or whatever, right?
That's
what
right.
backs the cows? It takes energy for the cows to eat grass and for the grass to grow from the sun, right?
Yes.
It takes energy to make cow. Humans need cow to eat,
yep.
right? Then why did gold take over thousands of years ago, right? Like in Old Testament times, right? Why did gold take over?
Yeah.
Gold is backed by the energy it takes to dig the gold out of the ground, right? In the same way that
yep.
beef is backed by sun energy, gold is backed by, you know, bicep energy of digging it out of the ground. Right.
Right? I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 13 tons of earth need to be moved for 1 ounce of gold,
correct.
Something like that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with gold, well, the problem with cows is that the cows will happily help you make more cows, right? You know,
that's a good point, yes.
So cows make more cows faster than we can make gold. The problem with gold is that we can make more gold today. 1,000 years ago, or you know, 800 years ago, we were mining approximately 6 tons of gold every year, the entire planet. Now, in 2024, even though for hundreds of years, gold has been monetized, okay, over millennia, multiple millennia, gold's been monetized, today, in 2024, we're mining about 3,600 tons of gold. So literally, we are mining more gold today, every 20 to 30 hours or so, than the entire planet 700 years ago.
That's amazing.
Even though we're not in a gold standard now, and we were in a gold
right.
standard then. So gold
wow.
is much less monetized today. So my point in saying that is that gold has that energy distribution, because the more gold is it worth, the greater incentive to go mine gold, right?
Yes.
So then we get to Bitcoin, right, and Bitcoin mining. What backs Bitcoin? Many things back Bitcoin, but for the metaphorical sake, the thing that backs Bitcoin in this case is electricity. It does
real
not matter.
Real world right. energy.
Right. It's like it does not matter how much the cows breed. There's only a certain amount of beef that can be produced. It does not matter how much you dig in the ground or how many pounds of dirt or tons of dirt you move. There's only a fixed amount of gold, right? So imagine that effort and that energy behind today mining 3,600 tons of gold a year,
yep,
chasing a fixed cap of, let's say, 21 tons of gold 1,000 years ago, right? And that is why Bitcoin mining, many people are optimistic, yep, Bitcoin mining has a long-term future. That because Bitcoin mining, because Bitcoin's value goes up, the value of Bitcoin mining goes up. Because the value of Bitcoin mining goes up, the value of Bitcoin goes up, right? So Bitcoin mining is basically spending electricity and buying back Bitcoin. So, like I said at the very beginning, 90% of stuff people hear, they just need to take with a serious grain of salt. And so people that blindly say self-custody is without risk, mining is without risk, red flags should go off, right? If somebody says, I do a self-custody thing, give me all your Bitcoin. Oh, yeah, I do a Bitcoin miner, mining is no risk, give me all your Bitcoin. Don't trust those people, right? They're everywhere. And so with Bitcoin mining, the big risks to Bitcoin mining is that because it's in the analog world, there's a lot of expenses. If you want to mine Bitcoin on your own, you might have to buy the ASICs. ASICs are the Bitcoin computers that mine the Bitcoin. You have to buy those rigs. The shipping might cost hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to mine to ship the rigs to you. If you're mining in your house, you're paying residential electricity prices, literally some of the most expensive electricity in the world, especially if you're in certain states like California or elsewhere in the U.S., big cities, metro areas. You also have to deal with the fact that you got to maintain the rig. The rig is loud. It is hot. It's annoying. I have talked to so many people where the husbands are these Bitcoiners. They have like four or five rigs going in the garage. Yeah. And the wife's like,
or their
I'm
basement,
sick of it. It's so loud.
Right.
Yeah. The cyber hornets are freaking me out, man. I can't sleep, right?
That's
so
hilarious.
So there's a lot of downsides with that. So hosted mining is when a company or a person or whomever is hosting that mining rig for you. So you don't want to buy the rig. You don't want to deal with it.
Yep.
You're going to pay me money so that I will deal with all that for you. I'll do the work. I'll maintain it. I'll clean it every few weeks or months or whatever's required. I'll make sure this. I'll make sure it's running, blah, 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 blah. Make sure it's not getting overheated. I'll do all these things for you. You pay me to do that, so I make money. That's my business. You're reducing my volatility in the market cycle. And likewise, because I can do this at scale, because many people are helping me, I can get cheaper electricity. I'm not mining in a suburban neighborhood. I'm going out and finding distressed energy or stranded energy around the world. I know you said this is probably going to a group in Pennsylvania that you're recording.
Pittsburgh,
yes. Pittsburgh, okay.
Yes.
So like some of our sites, probably the closest ones to them all are in Kentucky. I've been to two of the ones in Kentucky, basically abandoned coal mines, steel plants, that kind of thing, right? Basically the electricity is super cheap because nobody else is willing to buy it. But we're happy to buy it because we can turn it into a profitable business that's geographically independent, right?
And so I'm thinking we have a lot of abandoned steel mills in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Anyway,
So whether it's Blockware or someone else, probably if you have those abandoned mills, give it a year, give it 5 years. There are probably going to be Bitcoin miners that are willing to pay for access to that abandoned steel mill. If there is natural gas, methane, or electricity, any of those things that are stranded, anything that can be converted into electricity profitably, Bitcoin miners are going to be in very high demand for, or going to really, really demand, right? So that's kind of the pitch for Blockware, right?
Yep.
Not everybody should mine Bitcoin. Not everybody's going to want to mine Bitcoin. But if you want to mine Bitcoin to support the network, right? A lot of people that use us just say, hey, Bitcoin's changed my life. I'm going to buy this $500 rig and throw some hash at Bitcoin just to support it and say, thank you, Bitcoin. I don't need to make money, whatever. We have a lot of those people. We also have lots of people that, buy 100 of our $5,000 rigs like that because they're like, I'm going to, instead of buying real estate where I can make, whatever, 8 to 20% cash on cash, I'm going to buy $500,000 of the Bitcoin rigs.
Yep.
And then I'm going to sell the rigs for a premium at the market top. I'm going to get paid in Bitcoin in the meantime. That Bitcoin's going to go up in value in the meantime. It's going to be great, right? So we have a mix of retail people just looking to support the network as well as investors that are looking to get rich and significantly increase their money.
That's great. So someone could come in and start a relationship with you and invest a certain amount of money and that can be flexible, it sounds like, or there are kind of packages as well. And then you can profit from the Bitcoin mining without having to deal with the other issues with upkeep, maintenance, the hardware stuff, right?
So there's trade-offs to everything. You know, just, you know, to be fully transparent, like, frankly, if you want to learn the most, then you probably should do all the self-custody stuff on your own. You should probably mine Bitcoin yourself. You're going to learn way more actually shipping and setting up the mining rig on your own about mining than doing this.
Interesting.
But not everybody wants to do that.
Right.
And you're probably going to lose money doing that. Right.
So wait.
It's the same thing with self-custody. Like, if you want to learn the most about self-custody, you should try the single sigs, multi-sigs, collateral. You know, you should try all the stuff on your own.
Yeah.
You're probably going to lose money doing it, though.
Right. You're going to pay for your education.
You're going to make mistakes. Right. So it just comes down to, what do people want to do? They got to make the choice. Do they want to hire somebody to walk them through, whether it's self-custody, a Bitcoin advisor, or mining, or Blockware, or whatever? You know, there's not a right or wrong answer. I do think for most people, though, there's a right or wrong answer depending on what they want. And so if they want to learn the most about Bitcoin so they can talk about it and blabber on about it like I do for a living somehow, they should probably do this stuff themselves, right? But if they're just looking to preserve their purchasing power, not spend 1,000 hours learning about it, and learn as quickly as possible, it's much more cost effective to have somebody holding your hand and doing it. So anyway, that's my pitch for both Blockware and the Bitcoin Advisor. My number one encouragement for people that are new is, number one, realize you're not too late. You're not too late. Yes, that means Bitcoin number go up. Bitcoin's going to go up by a factor of 100 or 1,000 or more, right? Which sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's just not.
Yeah, when you've done the research and you understand the underlying utility of the technology, your conviction grows the more you understand. Totally, I agree.
Yeah, if I could add something from a more Christian perspective too. So I'm posting a video after we do this about my rant this morning about Michigan buying $7 million of Bitcoin. You know, obviously some of the richest people in the world are here, billionaires are here, Donald Trump's here, Michael Saylor's here, whatever. But the thing that I think Christians really engage with the Bitcoin story is Bitcoin's used for the world's poor, right? Jesus commanded us to love the poor in all aspects, obviously predominantly theologically and spiritually and, you know, relationally.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, in bringing prosperity to living. So Eric Hirschman, you know Eric, Gridless. So, and this is all related to Bitcoin price and the 100x we were just talking about, right? So Africa is an example. You know, there's, whatever, I think 600 to 800 million people in Africa that don't have electricity, right? And so what Eric from Gridless is doing is that he's doing this exact thing that we're talking about with the host of my, well, very similar, not exactly, but basically Eric, similar to what I'm describing with Blockware, because he's able to scale and leverage like Blockware is or other companies are able to do, he's going to these places in Africa, building a for-profit business of going to these remote villages and saying, hey, there's a remote village of 5,000 people here. Maybe they haven't, Eric's a Christian, so maybe they haven't heard the gospel and they don't have electricity. Let's bring them the gospel and let's bring them this electricity. Now, it's not profitable to bring these 5,000 people in this village electricity because there might be $10,000 worth of there's just not the savings there, right?
Right.
All the life savings will be spent on a single week's worth of electricity, right? It's just doesn't make any sense. You're not going to build electrical infrastructure for impoverished people in remote places of the world on a 30-year project where it's going to be underwater within 2 weeks, right? It just does not make sense, right? And so what Eric does is he goes in, he finds these renewable energy sources, natural gas, predominantly hydro and waste, like landfills. And he captures that energy, and you know maybe 99% of the energy is being directed towards Bitcoin hashing, Bitcoin mining, making the Bitcoin. But then, as a charitable donation, you know the last 1% or 5% or whatever of the electricity goes to the village, right? So it's profitable
for Eric because
he's making all this money. It's profitable for the people. So Eric alone, or the company Gridless, I think there are about 60,000 people or so that have electricity for their hospitals, for bringing water out of wells, for education, for lights, for safety, right, for all these things. You know, we're looking at, you know, probably within a year or two, over 100,000 people, a tenth of a million people, just from Eric's business alone, that have energy as a result of it, right? Or likewise with Blockware, there are dozens of people that we employ in these remote towns where the coal and steel plants have gone away, right? These people lost their jobs because the factories closed down.
Yep.
And there are dozens of people, running these plants for us, these mining operations for us in person, because it takes a lot of work to run them, right? So we're bringing a few jobs at least back to these areas that have had this massive brain drain over the last couple decades. So that's also cool. I've met a few of those people, but it's really fun because they're like, you know, some of the people I've talked to are like, I worked at this coal plant, you know, 30 years ago when I was younger. Now they're older, and it's like I get Luke, to work back here.
I love that you're
top the ground.
I love that you're saying that because, and you guys, if you've been listening to the Redemptive Economics podcast, yes, you know my heart for Pittsburgh. You know that I literally have used that kind of analogy, and I did it in the trailer that I released, that you've got these steel mill towns,
right,
that places like in Pittsburgh are Ambridge, right, Aliquippa, Arnold and New Kensington, Homestead, of course, these areas that were thriving steel towns because the steel mill was right there. And then when the steel industry rug pulled Pittsburgh, they've become very depressed.
Right.
And how amazing would it be, again, planting seeds here, guys, for these steel mills in some way to be repurposed, right, for Bitcoin mining? I think we could possibly utilize hydro from the rivers, yeah, in Pittsburgh.
My guess, obviously, I don't know the numbers of any of this.
Yeah.
My guess would be the steel operations would probably be a bigger interest to miners right now. But the hydro also, on a long time horizon, is very interesting.
See, so, I think Pittsburgh is so uniquely positioned potentially
I think it's going to happen, right? I mean, like, you know, I love your heart, too. I love your passion for this, you know. But whether the people watching this realize it or not, agree with it or not, figure it out or not, like, I do think that's going to happen. I think it is not going to make sense for these places to be untapped in the future, right? It is, like, why would you spend... whomever owns these steel plants, like, why would you spend, you know, whatever, $100,000 a month to own the land or whatever?
Right.
Like, it makes more sense to mine the Bitcoin, you know, and at least break even, right? This is the thing people don't understand about the energy companies. It's like, you know, but my point in saying this with your point about the steel mills is that I don't think this is going to be an option. Like, oh, maybe we could do this. I think somebody's going to do it. Either they're going to figure it out or somebody else is going to do it.
Somebody's going to do it, right.
It's energy sitting there. In terms of Bitcoin and in terms of electricity, it's literally millions of dollars sitting there, right?
Yeah.
And so getting back to the Bitcoin price and really emphasizing that first message at the very beginning I made about Bitcoin, we're really underestimating it, is with that Africa example, right?
Yep.
That model that Eric from Gridless is developing is a game changer for literally 2/3 of a billion people.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
For half a century, really longer, it has not been profitable to bring electricity to these remote villages.
Right.
Eric has figured it out. It's wildly profitable. They are growing like crazy. And that alone could 100x the total number of mini electric grids in Africa. Like that one model alone is going to 100x the number of humans in these remote villages that have electricity.
Right.
He thinks over, you know, multiple decades, of course. But my point is that alone... is a 100x in Bitcoin mining.
And
whole
again,
industry. No, forget the fact that if Michigan increased its allocation of Bitcoin by a factor of 1,000, that is still not even a month's rent worth of Bitcoin for the average Michigander, right? So that's my point. That's my big message, hopefully people are left with, is that, again, the 90% kind of misinformation, I believe, is people that are not bullish, optimistic enough in Bitcoin. It's much more reasonable for people to say to their bosses or financial managers, yeah, we think Bitcoin's going to go to $3 million or $5 million, you know, because we want to be because why? They want to be taken seriously by their investors, and their investors are going to take seriously, oh, well, my money guy thinks Bitcoin's going to go up by a factor of 50. I should buy some. But the people like me are saying, I really think Bitcoin's going to go up by a factor of 1,000 to 10,000. And because it goes up that much, that quickly, it means... people are going to lose their Bitcoin like crazy. It means that Bitcoin mining is going to be a wildly competitive business, and it means that the opportunity is really there. The reason Bitcoin is going to become so incredibly valuable is because the transition is so quick, and so many people keep losing their Bitcoin as they're trying to figure it out, like I've been saying. So that's my encouragement, is study Bitcoin, learn Bitcoin. Bitcoin's going to help millions of people, and treat your Bitcoin like it's worth significantly more than what it's worth right now. That's my encouragement. That's the biggest mistake I see with people, that they bought Bitcoin, they thought Bitcoin's great, and then Bitcoin went up faster than their education level, right?
Yes, so, great point.
And that's where people make mistakes. And that's, again, coming back earlier, that's the question you have to ask yourself. Do you want to learn on your own? You'll get a deeper learning, but it's going to take 10 times longer, and you might make mistakes along the way, or do you want to have somebody help you along the way, or do you want to do a mix of both? Maybe, you know, and this, I tell my Bitcoin advisor clients this all the time, right? So you don't have to have 100%, in a multi-sig, multi-jurisdictional Bitcoin vault that's protected against litigation, you know, inheritance planning, death taxes, everything else. You don't have to do that, but maybe you want to do it 90%, and the other 10% you have in your non-KYC, you know, brain vault that you're the single point of failure for, right?
Right.
You know, everyone can do what they want. I don't, you know, condemn people for doing what they want. It's just there's right ways to do something if you have a certain goal, wrong ways to do something, and most people just aren't being honest with themselves of what they actually want. So.
Absolutely.
Anyway, I rambled on a long time. Hopefully this has been helpful.
Luke Broyles, thank you so much, brother. Yeah. This has been amazing. You gave us a ton of time and value. Thank you for that. Grateful to be here, brother, and I hope you have a great rest of the week, man.
Thank you. I like your pen too, by the way.
Free Ross.
Free Ross, right.